Welcome to Minnesota Circle. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Nicole.
Minnesota is filled with incredible gems, from the beautiful north shores of Lake Superior to the locally owned coffee shops where they greet you by name.
Join us each week as we highlight all the amazing things Minnesota has to offer. We interview local entrepreneurs and inspiring individuals, share hidden travel gems, events, and more.
We believe in the power of personal narratives and have a passion for making our communities feel more connected. At the end of each episode, we will also feature a song from a local musician.
All you need to know for Minnesotans on the go. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Minnesota Circle. As always, we are so happy you are here. We have a really, really interesting episode today on breathing. I know you don't often think about breathing or how you're breathing. It's just automatic. But you could be breathing incorrectly. And the way you breathe has a lot to do with your health. And so breathing correctly can have a lot of positive impacts on your body and can lower stress and anxiety. And so this episode is so fabulous and needed. We also have a song at the end from a Minnesota musician. We have the song Scarlet by Once More Autumn. Once More Autumn is the brainchild of Minneapolis-based artist and songwriter Evan Walton. Evan is a transplant from Dayton, Ohio, and he is dedicated to bridging indie folk music with alternative soundscapes. So stick around to the end to hear the song Scarlet. And we also have our fundraiser going on with Everybody Love Everybody. So if you'd like to donate or find a way to help homeless people in Minneapolis, please go to our website or find us on social media at Minnesota Circle. And now here is Stephanie Esser from Balancing Elephants.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We have Stephanie with us today from Balancing Elephants, and we are going to be talking all about breathing today. So you may think, okay, what is there to talk about with breathing? It's a simple task, but really there's just so much more involved with it. And I have been slowly learning some of the benefits and different ways of breathing from Stephanie. So I'm excited to dive into this conversation. So Stephanie, why don't you just kind of go back to the beginning and share how you got started in this work?
Yeah, great. Well, thanks, Hannah. And thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. So I have, my background is in elementary education, and I, taught elementary school for a number of years, and then I stayed home and, raised my kids. I was lucky enough to, stay home with them, and but I've always been really passionate about helping kids, equipping them with tools to thrive and, kind of just navigate in this noisy modern world. I started doing yoga myself. That kind of opened up a door to just taking a different approach to managing stress and anxiety. And I saw the benefits of integrating breath to movement, and I saw how it impacted myself. So I got certified in yoga, and then I went on to Yoga Calm, which is a program focused on youth, and it incorporates mindfulness techniques, yoga-based movement, and social emotional learning to help kids just learn different tools to self-regulate and manage big feelings. And I went into the schools under a company called Move Mindfully, which is Kathy Flaminio. She's amazing. She's got a great program where she goes into schools, and basically it's a residency where you help teachers learn these tools to meet kids where they're at, physically, emotionally, cognitively, and help them just learn tools that work for them to learn and thrive. So in the midst of that experience and that time, I saw a void in the market for tools that really help cultivate these practices in children. So I developed a product that that made breathing and mindfulness fun for kids and engaging. And so I developed my bee buddy, which is a multisensory beanbag animal and breathing buddy. And it's just meant really to, as a physical or tangible reminder for parents, educators, therapists, as a tool to get kids in their bodies and get kids breathing deeply. Because we all know that, it's really hard to talk yourself out of an emotion. So using the body is a really great tool and way to, help calm a worried mind or an agitated mind. It's an excellent tool for before bedtime to use the body to calm the mind and vice versa. And really deep diaphragmatic breathing is the fastest way to shift your body from a stressed or sympathetic state to a calm and relaxed state within minutes. And this is all backed by the most recent neuroscience. There's some amazing studies that have come out in the last 5 to 10 years, and it's just really showing the massive benefits of breathing with intent. Now, back to your introduction, you had talked about, you know, we all breathe, and you might think, well, why do I need to pay attention to breathing? I do it all day long. And we do, you know, it's the first thing we do when we come into this world is we take our first breath, and it's the last thing we do before we exit. And there's a whole lot of breaths in between. But what makes the breathing special is it is one of our body systems, it's the only part of our nervous system that's automatic, but it also can be consciously controlled. So that's an opportunity to tap into that part of our bodies that that basically control how we feel. And we can shift from a stress state to a calm state within minutes using deep breathing. And so what I teach is I teach the mechanics of breathing. Basically, you can breathe in ways that will actually stimulate your nervous system or kind of amp it up, upregulate, and you can breathe in a way that will calm your nervous system. And most people want to calm their nervous systems, but there are times when you're feeling lethargic and you maybe want to go to a cup of coffee for a little afternoon boost. Well, you can use your breath to get that same result. So it's important to know that you can, it's a two-way street. You can use your breath to energize or to calm. And I educate people on how to use the diaphragm, which is your primary breathing muscle. It should be doing 80% of the work on your inhale. Most people have very out of shape or weak diaphragms. And now your diaphragm is a muscle, just like your bicep, and it can get weak and locked up. And most people aren't using their diaphragm to its full capacity. And leaving their breathing very subpar. Like most people only fill up the top part of their lungs, which is like only about 20 to 30% of what you can get. And that leaves you breathing more, faster, shallower. You're basically having to do a lot more work, and it's very stressful on your body. So what I teach people is how to get that diaphragm moving again, get it back in shape so that we can breathe a lot less and calmer breaths. So I studied under Dr. Belisa Vranich, who is the guru when it comes to the mechanics and psychology of breathing. And what she calls stressed breathing is vertical breathing. So if you're wanting to, are you willing to do a quick breathing exercise with me?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, okay. So we talked about we breathe on purpose all day long, right? So what I do is I teach breath work, which is breathing on purpose. I call it BOP, right? Breathing on purpose. BOP time is breathing with the intent to slow down your breath. It's basically breathing with awareness and intent to improve your physical, mental, or emotional health. So it can be done as little as 5 minutes a day. It can be done sprinkled throughout the day. But the first step to any breathwork practice is breath awareness. And so that's what we're going to do right now, is we're going to just simply, I'm going to talk you through a quick breath awareness, breath watching exercise. And that's really the first step, is kind of knowing, because you can't change what you don't know that needs to be changed. So in other words, notice where your breathing habits are And each of us have our very own unique breathing style. In fact, it's similar, it's compared to like your fingerprint. And our breathing style is influenced by so many things in our environment, just like our personalities. So kind of understanding what your breathing fingerprint is today is a helpful tool to know what it is you need to change or work on to maybe enhance it or improve it. So I'm going to have you just sit up tall if you can.
If you're everyone listening at home, you got to be doing this with me here.
Yep.
And when this airs,
I promise it won't hurt. It's going to be easy. So sit up tall. And if it's accessible for you to connect your feet to the floor, do so. One of the important things with a healthy breath is posture. So sit up nice and tall with a tall spine, but relax shoulders, relax your jaw, and just begin to inhale and exhale your natural breath. And begin doing that at your own pace and in the style that feels natural to you. And as you're doing that, I'm just going to simply ask you some questions. And all I want you to do is continue breathing naturally without any attempt to change your natural breath, inhaling and exhaling. And as you're doing so, pay attention and notice, are you breathing in your nose or are you breathing in and out of your mouth? Or maybe a combination of the two. As you're breathing, do you feel like you're getting a full deep breath, or does it feel like you still could, you're a little bit of an air hunger happening? I'm going to have you place one hand on your chest and one hand on your belly and really tune into the movement happening as you're inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, do you notice the top hand move at all or the bottom hand? Maybe both of them are moving, maybe neither of them are moving, but just notice where that movement is happening in your body. When you inhale, do you feel a little taller? And when you exhale, do you feel like you relax back down? Or when you inhale, do you feel like you get more expansive, wider? And as you inhale, does your belly go in? Or does it go out? And pay attention to the pace of your breath. Is it fast? Is it slow? Or maybe right in between? And how is the rhythm? Do you feel a rhythmical breath coming in and out? Or is it a little choppy? Maybe you're catching yourself holding your breath. These are all clues. And we're just observing. Let's take one more inhale and exhale. Go ahead and return your hands to your lap. Okay, so that is step one, is just breath awareness, knowing where you're at. And really when we're watching our breath, we're looking for a few things. Number one, are you breathing in your nose or your mouth? Nasal breathing. And these are all what we're talking about today. I want to just make sure I say this, is that this is breathing at rest. Now there's going to be times in your day or your life where you will need to breathe using every muscle you have. You're going to breathe labored when you're stressed or when you're exercising, and that is okay. But today we're talking just about breathing at rest. So breathing in and out of your nose is really important. There's a lot of reasons breathing in your nose is beneficial. For one, it humidifies the air before entering your lungs. It heats it. It quite literally cleans it or filters it out. And it also adds some restriction, which activates the diaphragm. So it really kind of gets the diaphragm working. Whereas when you breathe in and out of your mouth, it number one, increases stress. That's a stressful way of, it activates more your sympathetic nervous system, which is your fight and flight part of your nervous system. It doesn't cool, it doesn't warm the air, it doesn't filter the air, and it doesn't warm the air. So when you think about it, that nose plays a lot of really a key roles in, it's a really important part of our body that helps get fresh, clean air into our lungs. the other thing we're looking at is the movement, the muscles we're using. And if you're using your, we always breathe with our diaphragm. So anybody that tells you you're not breathing with your diaphragm is wrong. But what is happening is many of us don't use our diaphragm to its fullest. So what we want to look at here is, and I won't put you on the spot, Hannah, but most people, when they inhale, they feel themselves getting a little taller. Right.
Yep.
Actually see like that vertical. Did you feel that in your body?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So, and that is super common. In fact, Dr. Belisa Vranich, who I was trained under, she believes that 9 out of 10 people breathe that way. And that's my job, is to help educate people in how to kind of get out of that stressed breathing cycle and into a relaxed, calming breathing cycle. So we breathe over 20,000 times a day. And if you're breathing in a way that's keeping you at like this kind of like the stressed level, that's not doing you any favors, right? So as often as you can throughout the day, and it takes practice, stop and breathe low and slow through the nose and deep. So what we're looking for, so if you feel yourself getting a little taller, what that's telling me is that you're using your accessory muscles. So we have our primary breathing muscles, which are diaphragm, our intercostals, which are rib muscles, and then our ab muscles. We have accessory breathing muscles in our neck and shoulder, and that's meant for, you know, when you're really labored and maybe exercising. And when you're exercising and going all out, use everything you got. Breathe however you need to. Breathe in and out of your mouth if you need to. We're not talking about that today. We're talking about at rest. If you're breathing using those accessory muscles at rest, you're putting a lot of strain on your neck and shoulder muscles. They're not meant to be breathing muscles all day long. So you might have neck and shoulder pain. A lot of people have neck and shoulder pain. So what we want to do is bring that breath down low and get the diaphragm working again. And sometimes we call it unlocking the diaphragm. So what you want to feel is, so when we start with a breathing protocol or a breath work training, we usually start on the back, because when you lay on your back, that takes the accessory breathing muscles out of the equation typically, because you don't necessarily breathe vertically when you're on your back. So that's a great place to start. Sometimes people like to lay in beach pose where your knees are bent and your feet on the floor, or just laying on the floor. And that's a great place to start to get that feeling, get that breath down low and get that diaphragm working. And this is my product, my Bee Buddy. That's one of the uses for kids to practice a healthy belly breath. I simply have them put the Bee Buddy on their belly, or you can put a book or a stuffed animal, just something to give them that feedback, you know, like let's push that buddy up high on the inhale and down low on the exhale. Now, some people, when they inhale, their belly goes in. Was that something that you noticed in your breathing?
No, I don't have that. I know you had mentioned that before. I've seen some of your videos, but I don't have that. So I think that's good. A good thing.
And that is something too, to pay attention to in children, particularly children who have anxiety or get stressed out easily, watching their breathing. And when they inhale, if their belly goes in, that's something you want to correct and reverse, because it's basically fueling that stress cycle. And it's like, your body's kind of fighting with the diaphragm every breath. So we want to get a nice, slow, healthy breath, because that is, I call it the remote control to the brain and the nervous system. When you breathe diaphragmatically, it shifts your body into that relaxed state. And so the more often you do it, you're kind of interrupting that stress cycle, the better it is. And you eventually train your body how to respond to stress in a really healthy, efficient way. So we talked about breathing vertically, relaxing the shoulders. Now, if you're sitting up, sometimes I'll put my hands behind my back or press into my legs, anything to kind of keep those shoulders down and relaxed. Tension is something that really tends to interfere with healthy breathing. A lot of us hold tension in our jaws, our neck, our shoulders. Many of us brace our bellies, and people that like our gut suckers or our belly bracers, that quite literally inhibits the diaphragm from moving down. So when you inhale, your diaphragm it's like a dome shaped muscle that sits right underneath your lungs and heart and above all your digestive organs. And so when you inhale, your diaphragm flattens and widens and it pulls your rib cage apart, pulls it out wide. And that's what makes your belly pop out, is it kind of pushes your digestive organs down. And so that's what we're looking for, is a, and that quite literally makes the lungs bigger, allowing for more air to fill them. And the most dense, the densest, most oxygen rich part of our lungs are actually in our back down low. So that's where we want the air to go to get the most oxygen exchange and to get a really good full deep breath. And Dr. Belisa would say that it takes two deep horizontal breaths, meaning diaphragmatic breaths, for every 10 vertical breaths. So if you want to kind of, I like to think of this as like a car, right? When you are flooring the gas pedal on a car, that's breathing fast vertically, right? It's inefficient. It's wasting energy. It's wear and tear on your vehicle, right?
Right.
So breathing low and slow using your diaphragm is like pressing the brake on your car. It's going to slow it down. It's going to burn less gas. It's going to be easier on your vehicle. And both ways are going to get you there, right? You're going to get to your destination, but you want to get to your destination calmly, safely, efficiently. And that's kind of the difference between breathing vertically or breathing horizontally. You know, our bodies are amazing. We're going to get there either way. You're going to breathe. Your body's going to keep you alive, but it can be a lot easier. So breathing, and when you talk about the most important thing that I feel is really relevant in today's world, especially after the pandemic, is the stress and anxiety levels are at an all-time high. In fact, the Surgeon General declared a national emergency in youth mental health. So we are in a crisis, and breathing is not going to be the only answer. It's not, but it certainly is a really great place to start, because it's with us all the time. It works and it's free. And it just is a matter of using it and building that routine and having a tool. Really, it's like a Swiss Army knife. You know, there's lots of different options when it comes to breathing. You can breathe to energize, you can breathe to calm, you can breathe to focus. But just knowing how to modulate your nervous system using your breath is a tool I think every kid should learn. And the breath, the brain, and the nervous system are all linked. So when you are feeling stressed or overwhelmed, the breath is the answer. Okay. Have you ever been really upset and angry and somebody says, calm down? Right?
Yeah, it's the worst thing.
Has that ever worked?
No, no.
It doesn't work. You can't use the mind to calm the mind. You have to use the body. And the breath is that remote control. It's you can't be in a stress state when you are breathing calmly, diaphragmatically, and slowly, right? So this is why I call the breath a superpower. And I my mission is to help parents, teachers, therapists learn first so that they can teach it to the children, because kids are sponges and they mimic what their parents do. If a parent is breathing, you know, in and out of their mouth in a very erratic fashion, chaotic fashion, most likely their mind is going to be chaotic and erratic, right? And kids mimic that. So we have to start with, I always say the parents have to put on their own oxygen masks on first, practice it, and then model it and teach it to their children. And I like to compare breathing, or breathing on purpose, I should say, because that's breathing intentionally. I like to compare it to having your kids brush their teeth at night, right? It's something that most parents do, right? They have their kids brush their teeth so that they maintain their oral health and their oral hygiene. I would love to see parents place that much emphasis on breathing hygiene, because not only is your breathing a tool for emotional regulation, but it is a, it's, it's, literally strengthening your breathing muscles, which can help prevent, you know, asthma, colds, illnesses, and making your breathing muscles strong is the, probably the best thing you can do for your respiratory system in general, especially after we're getting through this respiratory virus pandemic. And so it's relevant. It's a simple thing to do. And it works. I mean, I'm super passionate about it.
I know you are just like a wealth of information. You can tell how much, you know, just this little conversation and being around you, you have so much information as well. And one of the things that we witnessed when we did some behind the scenes recently is you would actually like measure the diaphragm and compare, you know, before breathing and after breathing properly and things like that. So I would like to know a little bit more about your services and these classes that you offer. What does that look like? Is that usually kind of what you do with the measuring? What does a toolkit look like when you have these classes? And so it sounds like you work with the adults and then have them passed down to the children, or how does that all look?
Great. Yeah, thank you. So, so the approach that I am trained on, the breathing class is the name of the program. Dr. Belisa Vranich is a clinical psychologist. And she has come up with this, this tool or measurement called a breathing IQ or a BIC. And it's a really great tool for anybody that's, that likes to see tangible results, right? It's an objective measurement of your abdominal thoracic flexibility, right? So it's you're basically just below your ribs. When you inhale, as I'd mentioned earlier, your diaphragm, it moves down, it flattens, pulling the rib cage apart. So what we're looking for is on the inhale, we want the rib cage to expand, right? And the more that expands on the inhale, that means that your diaphragm is basically in shape. Okay. So your diaphragm is a muscle, and it's a massive muscle. But it doesn't have nerve endings. So you can't feel it like you can your other muscles. It doesn't get fatigued, that you can feel. So that's why oftentimes I'll have people place their hands on their lower ribs. And when you inhale, your hands should move apart. And when you exhale, your hands should come back together. That is showing a healthy diaphragmatic breath. And that range of motion is essential. That's what we're measuring. So on the inhale, we want to see a nice wide, expansive inhale. And then on the exhale, the ribs come back together, showing it narrowing. So that's what I measure. And the difference is your breathing IQ. That and a combination of two things. I look at how people are breathing. I look for where that movement's happening. If I'm seeing shoulder movement or upper chest movement, I would probably call you a vertical breather. If I see no shoulder movement, nothing from the armpits down, more of an expansive breath, I would call you a horizontal breather. And that means you're using your diaphragm. That's a healthy breath. That's a relaxed breath. So most people, as we had talked, most people aren't breathing, horizontally. So we measure you, I give you a letter grade. It's usually an A through an F. Most people get a D or an F, from the beginning, but the good news is it can be easily fixed. So something that we should all know is that we were all born as healthy diaphragmatic breathers. And if you've ever seen a baby or a toddler sleeping, or even your dog, you will see a slow, rhythmical, diaphragmatic breath. Their whole middle expands on the inhale and narrows on the exhale. So if you haven't seen that, I encourage you to watch your dog breathe, watch your baby or your toddler breathe. That's what we're looking for. So we're relearning how to breathe when you work with me. And kids so most kids stop. They start adopting poor breathing habits usually by the age five or six. Studies have shown 5.5 is kind of that time where our healthy breathing patterns kind of go out the door. Well, think about what happens at that age. We go to kindergarten. We start comparing ourselves to other kids. You know, you might pull your belly in if your belly is sticking out. You know, you see your teacher breathing vertically. So there's all sorts of variables that can change our breath. Doesn't matter really at this point why, but let's fix it, right? So I take a very practical approach to fixing your breathing. It's just here's where we're at, here's where we're headed, and here's what you need to do to get there. So there's based on your breathing IQ or your test, I give you some exercises. Many of them are yoga based, like cat cow, right? So it's getting the body to move the way it's supposed to be moving with each breath. And it's like an exaggerated version of your breathing movement, but eventually your body will remember, oh yeah, this is how I'm supposed to be moving as I breathe. And when you're breathing in sync, if your diaphragm's running the show, I call it the conductor of the orchestra, right? So if your diaphragm is working how it should, if it's functional and healthy and strong, the rest of your body systems will be in sync and fall into place, making you feel a lot better. And so I hope that answered your question. So basically, we assess your breathing, we come up with a plan. Based on your breathing, you'll do some exercises, 5-10 minutes a day tops. And the good news is I myself can speak for, after even yoga teacher training, practicing yoga, I still had a D when I did my breathing assessment, when I went through my program, I had a D. I thought I was a great breather. No, I wasn't. But I went from a D to an A in a matter of 3 weeks. So that just kind of gives you an idea of how quickly you can change those patterns. And it really is a game changer as far as just being able to calm yourself on the spot in real time, quite literally. You know, if you're at the grocery store and somebody's annoying you, or if you're in a car and somebody's driving slow ahead of you, instead of reacting, your breathing gives you an option to stop, you pause and respond without making yourself angry, because really help you, right?
Yeah. I'm curious to hear what other feedback you've received from some of your clients when they've taken that class and kind of things that they notice after going through the course.
Yeah. Well, again, everybody's people's goals are different. So the people that would benefit. So people, let's say people that are get gassed early when they're exercising, maybe an athlete, a young athlete, soccer player, just huffs and puffs. Okay. Well, changing that from a stressed breathing pattern, teaching them how to breathe diaphragmatically, breathing diaphragmatically is going to basically help you breathe more efficiently. You're going to become breathless a lot later, and it helps with recovery. So that would be, you know, somebody that's wanting to maybe run a marathon and they're finding that they're just running out of gas. Those are people that could benefit, a lot of people that are just trying to enhance their athletic performance, people with anxiety, people that have sleep troubles, people that have back issues. There's all sorts of different benefits. It just depends upon the person, but those are probably the most popular that I get, is just being able to calm yourself in real time is probably the number one response or feedback I get, is wow, I feel like I have more control over my emotions.
Yeah. Because, and that's huge.
Yeah. You're using your body, not your mind. You know, it's hard to calm an anxious mind using the mind. So that's why the body is the key, you know, using the breath. Your breath is like this secret back door to your brain and your nervous system. And once you know how to use it, it's invaluable. So that's probably the number one benefit, especially in the face of, you know, our world right now, is just being able to pause, reset, and self-regulate, really.
Right. I mean, even in that short little breathing exercise you did with me, which was just, you know, to determine what type of breathing methods I use, I mean, even that alone was enough for like a little bit of a pause. Mm-hmm. So I can see how it would just be hugely beneficial. I mean, that's the main thing, is that all ages need, is to be able to figure out how to calm down in the moment. And I can just see that being hugely beneficial, like if you're having panic attacks or if you're anxiety or stressed or angry or any of the things. So I could just, it's just a huge tool. And I love that it's accessible for everyone. It's something that you have with you at all times. And I want to go back to your Beebody product as well, because I just think they're so cute and also just very helpful for kids. Can you talk a little bit about the design of them and how they are created, and maybe just a couple of the exercises that you do with kids? I know you mentioned laying down. Are there any other like quick and simple things you could do with your kids to work on their breathing with them?
Yes, absolutely. So the Beebody is I designed it with a lot of intent, and it's a multi-sensory beanbag animal, and it's filled with lavender and flax seed. So lavender is known to have a calming effect. And so it's a breathing buddy, but also like a weighted eye pillow. The weightedness is intentional in the fact that when you're practicing belly breathing or you're using it as an eye pillow, that weightedness is calming for most kids. And it also kind of it stays in place. So if sometimes before I developed the Beebody, I would use stuffed animals like little beanie babies. And when you're practicing belly breathing, sometimes they roll off the belly, causing more of a distraction, which kind of interferes with the purpose of relaxation. So that weightedness really helps keep it securely on the belly when you're practicing belly breathing. I made funny, like kind of silly little happy faces in animal theme to kind of just make it more playful and fun, bright colors. The feathers are there to give kids kind of that visual feedback when they're exhaling. Exhaling is really the secret sauce, especially when it comes to wanting to downregulate or calm the body. So exhalation is relaxation, I like to say. It is quite literally when you extend or lengthen your exhale, it slows the heart and it calms the nervous system. So the opposite is true as well. If you want to upregulate or energize your body, you want to lengthen the inhale, or sometimes they'll go sniff. Sniff a few times. That will activate your sympathetic activating part of your nervous system. So it's really helpful to know. But for the general purpose, most people want to feel calm, because I feel like a lot of us live in a very kind of amped up state throughout the day with all of our digital distractions and our sounds and our lights. And so the feathers are there to really encourage a long exhale. So I will use the Beebody as a tool to say, okay, let's see how long we can exhale and see the hair wiggle in the wind. Five long exhales before bedtime would be an excellent way to empower kids with the tool to calm their bodies. Using it as an eye pillow, so laying down, placing the Beebody, the backside of the Beebody is like a velvety soft material, and the front is more of a like a canvasy, I don't want to say rough, but like more like a more durable canvasy. And that's by intent, because it's a multi-sensory, it just gives you something to feel and look at. I have the cords, the looped cords on the side, basically for just ease of holding, hanging, carrying, and then just the bright colors for just, you know, to make them to look pleasing. But another way we use the Beebody is, I think I had mentioned that one of the barriers, or I call it enemies of the breath sometimes, is poor posture. And this is becoming increasingly more popular now that so many people are digital learning, and, you know, we're sitting on our beds and our heads are forward, which tends to open your mouth, become mouth breather. So it's really the digital learning is not good for your breathing typically. So it's good to be mindful of your posture. And if you are willing to do another quick exercise, I'll just talk you through it to kind of get a sense or a feel for how your posture affects your breathing. I always have people just kind of slouch over and really do a real exaggerated slouch, right? With a rounded back. And try to take a deep inhale. and exhale. Okay, now sit up tall. Okay, relax your shoulders. Chin should be parallel to the floor, not up, not down, feet on the floor. And now take a deep inhale. And exhale. Okay, did you feel a difference?
Yeah, and I know I have terrible posture too, so I can tell that the leaning over wasn't that much different than my normal.
These vicious cycles.
Yeah.
Right. So that it starts with something as simple as like you're looking at your computer and you're slouched over. Well, that's going to inhibit your diaphragm from moving, which is going to create some stress breathing patterns. Well, there's now it's like this cycle that starts. So really, and everybody does it. I do it. But what is important to do is maybe even set your alarm every hour or every 2 hours. And when it goes off, sit up tall, take 3 belly breaths and proceed. Right.
Yeah.
As often as you can interrupt those habitual kind of more like not helpful breathing patterns, the better. And eventually your body will be like, oh yeah, this is how I want to breathe. And there's actually a term out there now that I can't remember who came up with this term, but it's called email apnea. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. So apnea is a cessation of the breath. It's like when you stop breathing, right? People with sleep apnea, they stop at night. So email apnea is when you are on your computer, and I think we can all relate. I can relate to this. And let's say you're opening up your email and you're expecting something really important, right? Maybe an email from your boss. People tend to hold their breath and just catch it. Just pay attention this next week and notice like when you're holding your breath and what you're doing in that moment. That's a stressed breathing pattern that can also become a habitual breathing pattern that isn't helpful. So holding your breath is a learned stress response. When you think about when somebody maybe turns a corner and scares you, right? You go, what happens to your breath? Your belly goes in, right? The opposite way, and you hold your breath. That's a fear response. Many people get stuck in that fear response, which kind of starts that cycle of just dysfunctional breathing. And so really that's why awareness is really the first step. And watching your kids, you know, watching your kids, if you see them like with their mouth open, leaning over, you know, say, sit up, close your mouth. And that's another way I use the Bee Buddies as a posture prop. So knowing the importance of posture and a healthy breath, I'll place the Bee Buddy on the head. You can, you know, play a game where you walk around the room, see how fast you can walk, maybe hop on one foot or just sit up tall, maybe having dinner, you know, with your Bee Buddy on your head and see how long you can sit with a good, healthy posture. And just like anything, practice makes perfect, right? I mean, just,
Oh, that is so fascinating. And thinking about the email part of it as well, I never really thought about that, but it's so true that I know I'm holding my breath more than I should be. And so it's just super fascinating. And I have a couple of the Bee Buddies at my home, so I'll have to try that. I'm sure they'll love making a game out of it, putting it on their head.
Have them put it on their head and try tree pose. Right?
Yeah. You know, Nora loves yoga, so she'll be all over that.
That's a really great exercise to kind of to have them practice really focusing, using their body and mind and breath together to stay focused and calm and steady. And if they fall out of tree pose, I say, oh, that's okay. Let's get back in. That's teaching them resiliency. You know, you're going to stumble. You're going to fall out of tree pose sometimes, but you know what? We're going to get back in. We're going to keep trying. Right. And there's just a lot of great messages and skills and taught with embodied learning, such as yoga and breath work.
Yeah, I just love what you're doing. And I think it's such an important skill and not talked about. I mean, once I connected with you, it was like I never really thought about any of this before. And so it's been so enlightening. And for others that are listening to this episode and want to get more involved, want to purchase some of the Bee Buddies, maybe sign up for some of your courses and improve your own breathing, where would they go? How would they reach out to you?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So balancingelephants.com. And I am on Instagram. My handle is at BeeBuddy, B-E-B-U-D-D-Y. I post a lot of breathing exercises and tips and tools. I love talking to people about breathing. I do workshops. I do one-on-one coaching, small group coaching. I pretty much will cater to anybody's needs. I work with families in their homes if that's desired, and just basically getting people to educating people on really how you should be breathing and how it affects your mind, mood, and health. I'm passionate about sharing it. I think that every child, I wish I had personally known this stuff when I was a child. It really would have been a game changer for me. So it's what fuels me. I didn't mention this, but I was born without the breath. And I do believe that that is what fuels my passion. I don't remember the day I was born. I'm a twin. My parents didn't know they were having twins. We were preemies, and I was born with a hyaline membrane disease, which was basically my lungs weren't developed. So I spent the first month of my life, I was lucky enough to be born in St. Paul, where there was a neonatal unit and an incubator. So I had a machine breathing for me my first month of my life. And I don't think that's a coincidence, that I'm here. I think that I don't remember that, but I do think my body remembers that first month of my life. And so I just feel passionate about sharing, you know, sharing it to help really anybody that breathes, which is everybody. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that's super interesting. Like that, I mean, it's all went full circle on you mm-hmm. struggling to breathe as a child and now teaching others that, how to get their breath back. So I think you're doing the right thing, and everyone can see how passionate you are when talking to you. So thank you for speaking with me, and everyone go and check out Balancing Elephants and BeeBuddy and get some of the cute little BeeBuddies for your home. And thank you again, Stephanie, for speaking with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Looking for more ways to learn all about the incredible things Minnesota has to offer? Follow us on social media at Minnesota Circle or subscribe to our newsletter at themncircle.com.
If you wish to have a song featured on the podcast, please contact us. Loved this episode? Then subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Join us next time and enjoy the music.
Breathless in the water, bound by memory of all the pain you authored. Your love is a sea, and northern faces linger with soil to the sun. It all comes down to nothing, and I'm bleeding once again. Bleeding once again. Faded by our fathers, numb with clarity of all the faith you altered. You were everything, and vacant skies still cover the writing on the walls. It all comes down to something, and I'm bleeding once again. Bleeding once again.